Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
The presence of God changes everything, changes our hearts, it aligns our minds, it begins to shift our perspective, and we need the presence of God like never before, church. We need it in our homes, we need it in our communities, we need it in our world. And that's why we've committed to this series, As in Heaven, because we need the presence of heaven here on earth. We need the kingdom of heaven to be here on earth. That's our prayer. Our world needs a different model. The model of the world does not work, but the model of heaven is our inheritance, and therefore it's our responsibility to bring that to the neighborhoods where we do life and where we live. And that's why today we want to speak on a subject that is so desperately needed. We need to talk about this, and we need to unpack it and make sure that we are part of the answer and not part of the problem. We need to talk today with our church family, with you, with others actually contributing to the message today from our community, as we all add our voice to the subject of unity.
There's such a desperation right now for unity to be a heart issue, not just to be something that we talk about, but something we demonstrate, not just to be something that we refer to, for a week or 2 weeks, but that we model it for the rest of our lives. And it's out of that sense of desperation that there's a deep frustration that's growing. And it's out of that place that it's important that we look at where unity is modeled well. And that's why I want to look at heaven, because in heaven, we see that that's a blueprint for how we can model relationships right here on the earth. At a time when there is so much racial prejudice and so much confusion and hatred and brokenness and heartache, we want to look at what heaven's like so that we can have hope in our here and now, so that we can have not just a conversation about unity, but so that we can achieve it together and bring God's love and His compassion and His deep sense of respect and dignity that He longs for His people to demonstrate. And so this blueprint that I wanted to talk about is vital, because we want to be the church. We just don't want to have conversations about it. We want to demonstrate it. We just don't want to talk about an overt outworking of what unity looks like, when in our hearts we have these covert things that are hidden, and we have these hurts and disappointments and doubts and prejudices that are deep in our heart. So let's look at this blueprint, what heaven is like. In Revelations chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says this: I saw a huge crowd, too huge to count, and everyone was there, all nations, all tribes, all races, and all languages. That's what heaven's like. All of us together in our diversity, worshiping Jesus, the same God. And if heaven is like that, we want the Bible to be our roadmap to bring that on the earth today. And to be honest, we have no excuse. We can't ignore this, because this is the command of our Heavenly Father. He commands unity. He commands us to represent Him on the earth. If we have an opinion that is different than what the Bible teaches, guess whose opinion needs to change? Ours, not God's, right? If we have a hurt or a heartache, we have to take that hurt and heartache to Jesus here on the earth and deal with our indifferences right now today. So it's that sense of love that I think we need. We need to understand that we're heaven bound, but we have an assignment on the earth. We have an assignment to bring the love of Jesus to each and every individual today.
And so we are going to the blueprint of God's Word. You know, no excuses, like Steve said. Maybe that's why we don't like reading our Bible, because it actually makes things pretty clear. The Bible is very strong on these areas. And so as a church, we don't need to be indifferent. Right. We don't need to say we're not sure. No, we're so sure. Clear. We're sure that the prejudice is wrong. We're sure that the hatred has
Absolutely.
To end. We're sure that love has to be the thing that is our guiding and is our force that we actually do life with. We are sure sure that in the Word of God, there is the truth and the light for the path that we all need to walk down to make sure we are united. And so in Ephesians 4, it talks about this beautiful picture of what it looks like to be mature in Christ, what it looks like to actually be the body and actually do life together. And we want to break that down for a couple of moments with you and give you some keys of what unity is going to require from each of us. So in Ephesians 4, we're going to read to you little parts of it, each of us, and pull out some principles. Number one, the first thing I want to say is unity is going to require humility and harmony. Let me read it first of all from verse 2. It says, I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want any of you strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. But I want you to walk the road marked out for you, and you will do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts. You know, we're in a season, aren't we, where a lot of people are saying a lot of things. But our commitment can't be to say what people want us to say in the moment. Our commitment, which is why we keep coming back to these subjects, is that we would have a steady path, a consistent path to bring change that lasts. So it says, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing the differences and quick at mending the fences. If we want to see unity, we got to do the work consistently. And that's going to require humility, and it's going to require discipline, and it's going to require harmony. What's humility? Humility is pouring ourselves out for our brother and for our sister. It's not allowing our agenda to be the only agenda. It's not saying it's my way or no way, but it's actually saying I want to amplify God's voice, not my voice. I want to stand for what He stands for, not for the things that I feel particular about. That God wants us to actually put Him at the first place, Him at the highest place. And that requires humility. Humility requires us to unpack any areas of pride in our heart that have been there for way too long. The pride that keeps us from unity, the pride that keeps us from being our brother's keeper. The Bible says we are our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. How are we doing with that? That is on us. That is our responsibility, and it will require humility. It will require a lack of our pride in order for us to find that place of love being poured out for one another. And that in itself will cause us to get to a place of harmony. The same passage in the Passion puts it this way. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience.
Don't look at me. It's not me.
But be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in bonds of peace. What's harmony? Harmony can only happen when we listen. You cannot harmonize with someone unless you listen to them. You got to hear their tone. You got to hear their voice. And that requires a humility to stop doing solo acts and instead harmonize with your brother and sister. We need to be people of harmony, people of unity. And that requires listening more, learning more, so that the sound of our church, the sound of our voice is one not of discord, but one of harmony and one of humility.
Secondly, we want to say unity must be outward and inward. We need both. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, we were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. So here we see that unity has to be not only external, but internal as well. We can't just say that we're united and then secretly hide issues of prejudice in our heart, or issues of pain and heartache that we don't take to Jesus to get healed in our heart. You can't say we're externally together. Maybe you in a church and you can sing together. Just because you're singing together doesn't mean that you're united, and you know if you're not united. How do you get to that place of being united? Well, you have to get agreement. with God's Word. Like Charles said earlier, we have to agree that this is our blueprint, not our feelings, not our opinions, not the way we were raised, not our nurturing experience. We have to examine our hearts with the Word of God and see if it measures up. And remember, the place where we're going, heaven, has no prejudice. Right? It's one tribe, one people, different languages and different, all kinds of differences that we celebrate together. So that means we've got a lot of work to do. And as far as the church is concerned, we need to be the ones that demonstrate this, going in the same place, going in the same direction. And that's why we can't sit on our hands. You know, that's why we can't be lazy in this season. And Jesus said this, and I think it's important because it's about how we get into unity. He said this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. When two of you get together and agree on anything on earth and make a prayer of it. Okay, that's huge right there. Just getting into agreement just with yourself and then one other person. When you make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. There we see it. Outward action springing from internal agreement. If we can agree that we have one master, if we can agree that we have one faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that He died for everybody, if we can agree that there's only one baptism and that we have one Heavenly Father, then we'll understand that we only have one enemy. The enemy is not each other or those different from us. The enemy is the devil, who is a thief, he is a liar, and he wants to steal and kill and destroy. Let's not let him do that, church. Let's be those who bring life and live in agreement.
And then it goes on to say, which I love, after telling us that we're going to walk on the same road and the same path and be permeated in oneness, it goes on to say this, but that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Hello.
We don't speak the same.
Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given our own gifts. Yeah. And he goes on to say, he's handed out gifts from above, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. And as Christ's followers, we've got to move rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. What's it saying? It's saying this. Number one, number three, unity is the celebration of diversity.
Right.
Hello. Unity is not conformity, uniformity. It's not bland. It's not beige. Right. It's not boring. Unity is saying, I celebrate that you're different. I celebrate the fact that you have a different color skin than me. I celebrate that you are crazy and I am not so crazy. I celebrate the fact that you come from a different culture and a different background. Why? Because your diversity makes me better. You're an expression of God on the earth that makes me see Him in all the awe and wonder of who He is. Man, if we think God is one color, if we think God is one way, if we think God is just beige and bland and boring, how can we think that when He's the creator of the universe?
Right. Come on,
just look at the world around you. It is the celebration of diversity from the trees to the mountains to the valleys. He is the God that is creator God. He is the God who says, look at what I did. Isn't it amazing? Mm. And we're not supposed to look the same, sound the same. We're supposed to be all the gift that God has caused us to be. So you, celebrate you. Celebrate your skin color. Celebrate your difference in the way that you look and the way that you are. Celebrate it. Why? Because God is the creator of diversity. And when racial prejudice begins to speak, it is everything that God is not. Yeah. It is saying there's only one way, there's only one color, there's only one that's the better of all of these others that God
that's
made.
Right.
No, that is exactly the
opposite
of God's word. So let's understand that in our unity, let's be the biggest celebrators of diversity.
It's good. And our last point, fourth point, is this: maturity. We can't have unity if we can't have maturity. We have to be mature in how we treat each other and how we relate to each other. If we want heaven to come to earth, we have to understand that immaturity kills unity. Immaturity doesn't stay on the same path. It doesn't celebrate each other. It goes off in its own direction and its own way. Let's read in Ephesians 4:13 and pick up from where Charlotte just left off. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We're not going to tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us, listen to me, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and then tell it in love. We take our lead from Jesus Christ, who is the source of everything that we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. And that's why unity comes out of maturity.
And so, church, we kind of want to head now into a different part of what we want to bring to you today, because one of the parts of this scripture that actually captured my attention the most when we were putting this word together is towards the end, it says this. It says, be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. What this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. And I want to say finally that unity requires honesty, that we have to tell our neighbor the truth that we're hurt, the truth that we were offended, the truth that something has been done to us from prejudice or injustice. Because it's when we begin to have the honesty that we can begin to begin the healing and bring the unity. And so in this season that we're in as a church, in bringing this picture of heaven to earth, we want to make sure we don't just teach you a message, but we do the work, that we have the conversations, that we ask the questions, that we do the work of understanding what does it mean for us to actually be united. Tell me your story. Tell me your journey so that I can then harmonize with you and sound more united and be more united.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let there be peace, everlasting, overwhelming peace. Calm the chaos, still the raging seas. Holy Spirit, help this world in need. Let there be hope, strength for every weak and weary soul, comfort for the ones who feel alone. Let the voices rise and sing a victory song. Father, your kingdom come, God, let your will as in heaven, let it be on earth. Let there be grace, perfect love as Jesus has displayed. Teach us now to go into the Over these city streets, over our families, in all of creation, let your will be done. Every heart come home, every soul restored. Heavenly Father, let your kingdom come. Over these city streets, over our families, in all of creation, let your will be done. Every heart come home, every soul restored. Heavenly Father, let your
Thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.